from the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas. It's the Bombastic Blogcast for Friday, September 6th, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Be there yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth. One heck of a nice guy and the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes. And since it is Hawaiian Shirt Friday, let's do the Hawaiian Shirt Friday fight song. Sing it loud and proud. Love this. Ah, yes. Truly the sweetest sound this side of heaven. Let's get things officially started with...
The Daily Danagram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. And this one comes to us from the late, great Abigail Van Buren. You knew her as Dear Abby. She said, if you want children to keep their feet on the ground, put some responsibility on their shoulders. I like that. But first, make sure their heads are screwed on tight.
You know, before this is over, I'm going to need a whole lot of serious therapy.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted History.
Here we go.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Big stuff.
Some cool, some not so cool.
Oh, boy.
Just the same. You need to know your Twisted History.
Yes, you do.
You might be quizzed.
See, there you go. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1962, archaeologist Peter Marsden discovered the first of the Blackfriars ships. Dating back to the 2nd century AD in the Blackfriars area, the banks of the River Thames in London. Needless to say, it was a bit waterlogged. And it was on this day in 1976, Soviet Air Defense Forces pilot Viktor Belenko landed a Mikoyan Gurevich MiG-25 jet fighter at Hakodate in Japan and requested political asylum in the United States. His request was granted. He later became a U.S. citizen and wrote an autobiography of his adventure, which sold well, explaining why Mr. Belenko appreciated the capitalist system.
Money! Money! Money!
One thing that I enjoy in particular about being the age that I am is that so little shocks me anymore. But when something does shock me, it's rather invigorating. For instance, the news that Liz Cheney is endorsing Kamala Harris. Now, why it shocked me, I don't know. I didn't expect her to endorse Donald Trump, not by a long shot, but I certainly didn't expect her to endorse Kamala Harris. So obviously, Liz Cheney has been a closet Democrat and closet left-winger all along. Well, the other night, Charlie Kirk, you know him from Turning Point USA, he had an interesting town hall in, I think it was Mesa, Arizona. Anyhow, this was on Wednesday night, and one of his guests was J.D. Vance, and it was here that Charlie Kirk informed J.D. Vance that Liz Cheney is endorsing Kamala Harris.
Quick, there was some breaking news earlier today. Big endorsement. Liz Cheney endorsed Kamala Harris.
Oh, no.
And it's so interesting, isn't it, that every failed warmonger in the established D.C., let's just say, machine is behind Kamala Harris, that the peacemakers are behind Trump and Vance. Blessed are the peacemakers, is what the scriptures say. Your thoughts, J.D.?
Well, maybe the best thing, not the very best thing, but a very good thing that I could say about the next presidency of Donald J. Trump is that he's going to make sure that people like Liz Cheney are laughed out of the Oval Office instead of rewarded, because this is a person whose entire career has been about sending other people's children off to fight and die for her military conflicts and her ridiculous ideas that somehow we were going to turn Afghanistan, a country that doesn't even have running water in a lot of places, into a thriving liberal democracy. And for that, Liz Cheney was willing to kill thousands of your children. Liz Cheney, you know what? I think it's the best thing in the world that she's supporting Kamala Harris. You are right. Blessed are the peacemakers. Kamala Harris and Liz Cheney make very, very interesting partners. They get rich when America's sons and daughters go off to die. They get rich when America loses wars instead of winning wars. And they get rich when America gets weaker in the world. We want American strength, American security, and most importantly, peace. Let's bring peace back to the world. And Donald Trump is the candidate to do it.
I don't know about you, but I got a big kick out of that response. And again, it reinforced this good vibe that I have coming from J.D. Vance. That Vance is indeed brilliant. He's well-educated, but he's just outright brilliant. And I find that very interesting that he comes from a very poor background. If you've never seen Hillbilly Elegy, I think it's on Netflix, you know, watch it. It's an interesting story, and I just think that this guy, J.D. Vance, has all the right instincts, and he is a perfect running mate for Donald Trump. My former employer, Cox Media Group, also known as CMG, who's a prominent player in the digital advertising industry, is facing some serious allegations about its active listening technology. Now, a leaked pitch deck. What is a pitch deck? Well, a pitch deck is a presentation, okay? A leaked presentation revealed that CMG may have been secretly eavesdropping on conversations through devices like your smartphones, laptops, and smart home assistants. Now, the software purportedly captures real-time intent data. And they capture this from users' conversations using artificial intelligence to analyze the data and then generate targeted advertisements. Now, the presentation obtained by 404 Media outlines a six-step process for turning casual everyday conversations into marketing gold. That's what this is all about. It's about reaping whatever you have to say, whatever you have to talk about, just kind of reaping that. Harvesting it, I think, is a more accurate term. They harvest what you say to your friends and to your family and turning that into advertising gold. Now, the practice raises some pretty important concerns over personal privacy, naturally. Give you, for instance, in this presentation obtained by 404 Media, shows that if users discuss, for instance, buying a Toyota with friends, they could soon be bombarded with ads for Toyotas. Now, this practice raises some pretty important concerns over personal privacy, naturally, especially since it suggests that what many suspected, our devices listening to us, like your TV, your smartphone, your computer, your laptop, that what we have suspected for the last several years that they're listening to us is indeed true. Now, tech giants like Facebook, Google, and Amazon are reportedly linked to CMG's technology, despite their longstanding denials about doing this sort of thing altogether. Oh, we're not doing this. We're not spying on you. Yeah, methinks they doth protest too much, you know? And they're doing this all for advertising. Now, in the wake of the leak, Google quickly removed CMG from its partners program. Nothing to see here, my friend. So naturally, that signaled a move to distance itself from the allegations. Now, Meta, which is Facebook's parent company, said that they're investigating the potential violation of its terms of service. And meanwhile, Amazon claims it hasn't worked with CMG on this specific program, leaving questions about the extent of these relationships. Yeah, nothing to see here. The denials from these companies leave an air of uncertainty, leading a lot of people to wonder if they're backpedaling or were genuinely unaware of CMG's practices. I don't know if we'll ever get an answer to that. But the legality of this kind of eavesdropping is another point of contention. They are homing in on your privacy. What if you're not talking about Toyotas? What if you and your wife or significant other are talking about, having an intimate night? You want people listening in on that? So, there's the legality of this. And it's another point of contention. The CMG claims that they're operating within the law. Of course, what would you expect them to claim? And in doing so, they point to the often overlooked terms of use agreements that consumers accept when downloading apps. And we all do it. We're all guilty of it. We check the little box without reading the material, and that's it. God only knows what we are giving our permission for. And these agreements, which are rarely read in full by anybody, may contain clauses allowing devices to listen for advertising purposes. But this justification is unlikely to settle concerns, as consumers look at this kind of thing as a breach of privacy, even if technically legal. I knew this was going to come to a head at some time, and I'm not sure that it's coming to a head right now, but this is certainly a first step. Because for years, there have been rumors that tech companies secretly listen to our conversations to serve eerily accurate ads. Companies like Meta have consistently denied these kinds of allegations, with Meta's privacy center even stating, "We're not listening to your conversations." Yet this leaked presentation seems to validate what a lot of us have suspected. That these companies, either directly or through partners, could be monetizing the private conversations held in our homes, in our cars, wherever you happen to carry your phone with you, even in your bathroom. So the leak has sparked further debates about digital privacy, especially in light of similar controversies involving other companies, with privacy issues increasingly at the forefront these days. This little revelation adds fuel to the ongoing debate about the ethics of big tech's data collection methods. It was an awesome night the other night in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, when Sean Hannity hosted a town hall with Donald Trump. And what's the name of the arena? I can't remember the name of the arena. I'm sorry about that. But what I thought was so interesting was the tremendous applause that Donald Trump got when he came out from behind the curtain. The crowd went nuts, and nobody was sitting down when he came in. They were all on their feet, huge standing ovation. The ovation went on and on and on while Trump walked over to the stage, got up on the stage, shook hands with Sean Hannity, and they were talking to each other, you know, just greetings. The crowd still persisted with their ovation. It was just tremendous. And the first thing that came to my mind was, boy, Kamala Harris wishes that she could get an ovation like that. Heck, she wishes that she could draw 0.1% of the size of that crowd. I mean, the auditorium was full. It was full. Now, I'm going to read this little thing from Fox News. They said the Sean Hannity moderated primetime event is being held at the New Holland Arena in Harrisburg. Okay, there you go. And of course, Harrisburg is the capital city of Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania being a swing state. And you know, we're down now to less than 70 days. What are we at? 66 days? 65 days? From the election. We're getting very close. And Pennsylvania is arguably, I want you to listen to me here, Pennsylvania is arguably the most important of seven swing states. Okay? They decided the 2020 election between Trump and Biden, and both campaigns, the Trump and Harris campaigns, see Pennsylvania as a state that's going to determine the outcome of the election. Now, how much truth there is to that? Yeah, you know. But Pittsburgh-based longtime Republican national strategist and ad maker Mark Harris said it's the one state that it's hard to see someone losing and then still winning the presidential race. It's clearly ground zero. Now, why would that be? Why would Pennsylvania be so damned important? Well, it's because Pennsylvania clearly is neither a red state nor a blue state, and they're not a purple state. They're just a state that just, they vote one way one time, they vote the other way the next time, they vote according to their heart. I don't know. But it's very interesting that one state is so damned important. Their neighbors to the west, Ohio, are clearly a red state. In 2020, Ohio, with 88 counties, 84 of them went for Donald Trump. So we're not real worried about Ohio, especially this time, since one of their sons, J.D. Vance, is on the ticket with Donald Trump. Now, Mike Butler, a Pittsburgh-based Democrat consultant, told Fox News that when it comes to the White House race, quoting him, he says, "I don't think any other state quite swings the needle as much as Pennsylvania. So it's an important place." But I thought it rather poignant that in light of all this, the Donald Trump got that tremendous ovation that went on and on and on. And something else I want to point out, too. I don't know if you saw the town hall. I didn't. I've seen highlights of it. But I did read the notes of someone who was there. And they said that at no point did Donald Trump consult notes or have any cards or anything. He sat there just his own self, Donald Trump and Sean Hannity. And Donald Trump answered questions, answered everything. He has no problem talking, as you well know. Kamala Harris, on the other hand, did you see that silly stunt she pulled the other day? When she pulled up to her Air Force Two plane in a Chevy Suburban or a Cadillac Escalade or whatever that she was using there, she gets out. She's got the little earbuds in her ears with the white wires plugged into her telephone, and she wouldn't talk to the press. "I'm in a hurry. I'm on the phone." And she went from the vehicle to the plane. And then as she's going up the ramp to the plane, she's holding the phone to her ear. The idiot. You don't have to hold the phone to your ear if you're wearing the earbuds. What does that tell you about that fraud? Little more on that town hall the other night in Pennsylvania in Harrisburg. The issue of incompetence came up. Trump really hit on it and hit hard. It's been a big sticking point with all the former Democrats who've been coming out of the woodwork for President Trump lately. Let us not forget, he's gained two very high-powered former Democrats, RFK Jr., and before that was Tulsi Gabbard, and both of those people are going to be in the Trump cabinet, I can assure you that. And I think they're going to do a very good job with whatever position they hold. Tulsi Gabbard, she's a political goddess to me. I mean, all you have to do is go to YouTube and just type in her name and listen to her. This woman she's a force to be reckoned with, and she is a peacemaker while she's in the military. My God, she is, to my mind, well, you got to bear in mind, I'm a geezer, right? I grew up in the 1950s and 60s. To my mind, Tulsi Gabbard is the equivalent. She's a modern day Ike Eisenhower. Really is. You know, it was Eisenhower who warned us about the military-industrial complex. And it's basically the military-industrial complex that is the foundation for the deep state. And if you understand all of this, then, of course, the choice of who to vote for in November is a no-brainer. So one of the primary responsibilities of a U.S. president is to keep Americans safe. And the incompetence that we've seen in the White House for the last 4 years has accomplished the exact opposite. Let's think about this. We were a nation at peace when Donald Trump left the White House. We had an economy that was robust. We had low energy prices, all of the good things that we enjoy in life. Decent prices in the grocery stores, decent clothing prices. The American middle class was finally starting to live well again. And then Biden takes the White House. And you know, it's not so much the Democrats that scare me as much as the idiot voters who vote for them. Those are the people that really scare me. We've met the enemy and he is us. So Now, after nearly 4 years of the Biden administration, look at us. We have never been closer to a true global conflict in our lifetime. So the conversation with the Sean Hannity town hall turned in that direction. And I'm going to pick up the audio here right after Hannity had played a video of Kamala Harris. And the conversation picks up between the two gentlemen.
Now, you just heard Kamala Harris, our country's failed border czar, talking about her commitment. You need the courage to never say the word radical Islamic terrorism or illegal alien. President Trump is back with us. What is your reaction to that? Because who attacked us on 9/11 and who's crossing our border?
So she wants to be politically correct, and we can't be politically correct anymore. Look, we have October 7th. People saw it. We have things going on in the world right now with Israel and with the Middle East is blowing up. It's blowing up. We have Ukraine and Russia. That would never happen. That would have never happened. October 7th would have never happened. If I were the president, it would have never happened, and everybody knew it. Iran was broke. They didn't have the money for Hamas and for Hezbollah. They didn't have the money for anybody they wanted to get by. And we would have made a fair deal with them. I was only looking to make a fair deal with them. But, you know, I wanted to say it so much during my term. We went 4 years without any blow-ups. We had no World Trade Center blow-up. We had no radical Islamic terror. We had no radical Islamic terror because we were very tough at the borders and we were very tough with our statements, and we had no, the whole world was a safe place. That was the question they asked Viktor Orban, who's really considered a very strong, they said he's a strong man. Sometimes you need a strong man. He's a strong man. He's the prime minister of Hungary. And he said, you bring back Trump, everybody. Now, I'm not saying it, but he said it because I'd rather say respect. But he said, everybody was afraid of Trump. You bring him back, you're not going to have any problems. It's all going to go away. The world is blowing up. The world is blowing up.
And there again, I'd like to point out the response from the audience there. They were really, really into this conversation. And it was a necessary conversation. You know, in terms of nuclear war, it's incredibly reassuring to hear the man who will, hopefully, again, be back in the White House. He'll be our commander in chief. So it's really reassuring to hear him speaking so soberly about the issue. He didn't pretend the possibility of a nuclear exchange was preposterous, but neither did he treat it as a foregone conclusion. I'm sure you noticed that, which is exactly what it feels like we're being led to accept by the current administration. Of course, again, that depends on which day of the week it is. And the fact that it seems almost a point of policy among progressives to avoid naming the enemies of the United States or identifying the common aspects of those enemies, it's both despicable, dangerous. And with the world where it is now, things are dangerous enough without inviting worse by proving to our adversaries time and time again that we're weak, which is what we're doing. And look at the world around you. China's messing around with the Philippines. Huh? I mean, an American president should make it absolutely clear to China that you don't harm a single hair on the Philippines' head. Nor do you mess with Japan. We fought a bloody world with Japan over a nearly four-year period back in the 1940s. And the relationship that emerged between our two nations since then is one that it's like the strongest marriage in the world. You don't mess with Japan any more than you mess with the United States. And Donald Trump is that kind of a president who'll make that clear. Charlie Kirk posted on X an amazing photo, and it's a photo of Tim Walz's family in Nebraska posing for a photo wearing custom Trump shirts. And the shirts all read, Nebraska Walls for Trump. There's 8 people in there. 8 Walls family members. And as Trending Politics reported it, they said since the beginning of time, every politician has relied on their family for support, counsel, and projecting an image of kinsmanship. While a family member publicly breaks with their candidate relative occasionally, it's almost unheard of for an entire side of the family to renounce their own blood, but that's just what's happening now to Tim Walz. The Minnesota governor and Democratic nominee for vice president was formally rejected by the Nebraska branch of his family, 8 of whom posted a group photo wearing matching Walz's for Trump shirts. The brazen photo spread virally across the internet Wednesday morning as major conservative figures picked up on the news of their abandoning of their relative. Charles Herbster, an in-state cattle farmer, was among the first to share the candid image, tagging the accounts for Donald Trump, Senator J.D. Vance, and adding the hashtag Save America. I love this. Now, Walz, who joined the Democratic ticket last month, has been somewhat of a sore thumb for Vice President Harris as a steady drip of bad news about his leadership and past has continued to trickle out, most particularly his ties with the CCP, you know, the Chinese Communist Party. And I don't know, the two sat for a joint interview last week there on CNN. I don't know if you saw that or not, but they battled back attacks on the governor's spotty military service. That's a controversy fueled back on Monday by Megyn Kelly. I don't know if you see Megyn Kelly's podcast ever, but she is just absolutely awesome. And she doesn't hold back because she is on a podcast. And of course, she's on Sirius XM as well. But there you go. Former Minnesota National Guardsman Tim Walz has served alongside a couple of people who have been very vocal lately about him, accusing him of stolen valor and being a military impersonator. And then making matters worse, Jeff Walz, the governor's brother, posted on Facebook recently that he will not be voting for his relative in November. Ain't that sweet? Let's head on over to the Comedy Corner with Chris Street.
You'll ask me all the time, you saving for college? No, I got a master's degree. Look what I do. No, it's true. I actually got a bachelor's degree in history. And then when I got out of school, imagine that, none of the big history factories were hiring. So I went back into school for psychology, got my master's degree, but halfway through I got on stage for the first time, fell in love with it, and never looked back. Now, I have no regrets, but I'm sure my parents needed a little more convincing. That's why I don't care how much you love your parents. I love mine to death. You're mad at something they did to you growing up. Don't get revenge in a way that ruins your own life. Take some planning and have a laugh together. I got a master's degree in clinical psychology. That's what you got to do. Do what I did. Let them pay for 7 years of college. Then on graduation day, say, I'm going to be a comedian. That works. The look on my mother's face was worth every test. Every essay I wrote. Like, you mean like in Vegas? Close, Utah. That's where the money at, mama. That's where I'm going. No, besides, you can't give kids advice based on now. The world changes too fast. Your advice becomes obsolete. Like the baby boomers, they heard from their depression era parents, get in with the company at the bottom, work your way to the top, because that worked for them. But when they grew up, it was all about education. They couldn't move ahead. So they told my generation, stay in school. We heard it like a mantra, stay in school, stay in school. Now we've all got master's degrees and we're comedians. So before I tell my kids anything, I got to be a fortune teller. I got to see who's going to be running things in 20 years. You think I'm telling my daughter to stay in school? I'm telling her Chinese guys are hot. I'm not the only one with this plan. I'm glad to hear it. That's good. Now, I stayed in school forever, but I told my daughter, you want to be a doctor, lawyer, engineer, I'm happy to pay for it. But if you want to get a philosophy degree, just so you can know why they want fries with that, you're doing that one on your own dime, sweetie. I'm not doing that.
Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on Monday's bombastic blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?